Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this thing is all about. We are not speaking from the top of the mountain, brother. We are speaking from down in the valley where we've been. And to be able to share with men who are trying to just find the light and the hope of what that looks like in Jesus Christ. So welcome. Good to have you here. We've got a topic today that is, about helping others, in a sense. And when is the time to continue helping or to stop helping? Just a little bit about relationship with others. And in the studio with me, and it was his idea, and I thought it was a great one. Duke is in the studio. Good to have you, brother.
Good to be here.
Did I get that right with what the title would be?
You did. You did. Spot on, brother.
Okay.
Yes.
Something close in that arena. So good to have you all. We always like to kind of kick things off with a little encouragement. And it's hard for guys who encourage other guys all the time to do just a little bit without getting into a whole topic, right?
Yeah, oh, yes.
So you got anything of encouragement?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I never have to even think twice about asking.
It always shows up here and there. I just want to give you a break and let you share one once in a while.
Brother, that's all I do.
Well, what struck me along with this topic in encouragement was I was reminded this weekend when a man came to me during church time with the sobbing proposition that he didn't know what to do. And so immediately my mind goes to, what can I say, Holy Spirit, to encourage? Mm. What can I do to bring a little bit of hope? Because all of what he was saying was despair. He was in one of those places we've all been. And it's like, is there any words? So, of course, there may be, but prayer is where we began for the encouragement. But the reason that I mention this is it was an encouragement to know that the Holy Spirit had equipped me to speak some hope into this guy's life.
Yeah.
And so there was encouragement 101 right there. I mean, that was the word that came to my mind. And I don't care who you are, where you are, when you're hurting, we all need something to grab onto, something that says, all right, the next moment would be better than the last. Mm. And so that's what I strive to do, and the encouragement in that was that I had that answer. That is, out of all the things that I could have shared with this man, what did I have? I had the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater, nothing I could have offered, I don't think for sure, that would have had be as impactful as that. So there's the encouragement.
Yes.
I felt like I could bring encouragement to him because I knew that the hope and love of Jesus Christ would impact him. And anything I could do, that would make a difference. If anything, that would make a difference. So
you
just engaged in that.
The way you put that is that it wasn't about you. It's about God using you.
Amen.
To be able to reach him. And that is what is sometimes impedes and keeps us from, as followers of Jesus, to even say anything to anybody else because we're afraid of saying the wrong thing. But if we go with the attitude that is prayerful and submission to God first, okay, and asking him to lead us, okay, then guess what's going to take place? You know, he wants to be able to reach that other individual. That may be someone that only you would be able to reach by even talking with them.
Mm.
And as a result of that, you're being obedient. You don't think God is going to give you the words to say? So often we end up at times just afraid of failing, of doing it wrong. Well, with God, all things are possible. Okay. And we have a God that creates all sorts of miracles all the time. He does nothing wrong. He cannot do anything wrong, just like he can't lie. Okay.
Amen.
So it's all good. So this kind of segues right into what we're wanting to talk about as far as our main topic today. So,
well, it did. And the starting point for that, Raul, was, and what spawned part of that, was this very topic of reaching out, helping hurting men, whatever label you want to put on it. In this guy's case, I will tell you something I did not know. And listeners, pay attention to this. When you're in a opportunity or position to help out, lift another brother up for whatever that is, even at smallest time. In this case, this guy was over the top with some emotion, and he was completely distraught. I didn't know what to say. I prayed with him, the Holy Spirit, all that. Well, the reason I mentioned that is near the end of our conversation, he was thanking me. He admitted to me that he was on his way to commit suicide. That is where it had brought him before that Sunday morning when he walked onto the church property. So I didn't know that when I was speaking with him. I didn't know that's where his mind was. So here I'm just trying to be encouraging and speak some hope into this guy's life, only to find out that it changed his mind. He saw hope he didn't have in about a 30-minute period there. Otherwise, the guy was going to go take his own life. So, brothers, you never know. A guy just needs a word or two or a hug. It could change the outcome in the next 10 minutes that where the guy could have made a very poor choice.
Well, you know, a church is not just filled with righteous people. It's filled with sinners. Okay?
Amen.
And we are all short of coming to the glory of Jesus and being able to do exactly what he would want us to be doing all the time. And what ends up taking place is that we forget sometimes of thinking that, okay, maybe our troubles are kind of not subsided, but they're handled. The Lord is taking care of them. Or maybe there's some issues that are going on in our life. And yet we look at others and sometimes think that, man, you know what? I guess we're all doing, especially when we're praising God. We think that everyone's got it. And we don't. None of us have it. If you start saying you do have it, guess what? You're going to find out that you don't very quickly. And as a result of that, that's where we can look upon others or with others with compassion and empathy, right? Of realizing that, hey, you know what? But for the grace of God, there go I. And there were times in my life where people were put in my life to speak truth into my life. Now, one of the challenges with being able to help somebody is knowing when and how to help someone, and where do you go with that sort of thing, and what is the individual that needs help? What type of challenges do they have, and what are the things that are necessary? Are we supposed to just go and help everybody who comes to a church and anyone who is homeless, you know? So,
no, but the Holy Spirit guides. That I used to really be challenged with that, Raul, with when do I... Am I fearful of being bamboozled by the really eloquent drug addict that says he needs help? So this whole idea of helping those that are hurting, it is a risky proposal sometimes. And I have goofed that up. I've had guys come and start sharing their heart and feeling like I was going to be the one to give them the answer, right? Because we want to fix.
Yes.
I got a hurting man standing in front of me. I want to give him something, but it ain't me. It's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And every time that I try and do it without the Holy Spirit, it never comes out well. As a matter of fact, I've had guys spring up and tell me that they came to receive love and all they were getting was judgment as I tried to speak some encouragement in their life. See, how they were looking to receive it was not the way you and I would. So immediately they were looking for... And you know what? That's a risk that we run when we help others out. There's been more than one time that I've been under attack by somebody because they thought I was, being self-righteous or something, I guess. So I do run that risk sometimes. I help a guy out. I do worry about sometimes guys will say, well, you think you got it together. You're all self-righteous. Little do they know how broken I was and how many men spoke into my life. So,
In doing that sort of thing, what is it that you actually, you said that you spend time with the Holy Spirit and ask for discernment. What's the process that you go through in making this decision, because these decisions are, you meet a guy at church, right? And all of a sudden, by the end of the service or whatever, maybe with little talk, I mean, what is it that you do to prepare yourself to how you need to deal with these guys?
Well, that's a daily. Mm-hmm. Every day I'm on my knees and I'm asking God to direct me that day, allow the Holy Spirit to guide me in whatever. And Lord, if you want to use me today in the lives of others, then do that. And that's pretty much. So I'm armored up and I'm kind of prepared in that way to receive whatever he has. What I know is, like in this guy's case, as soon as this came upon me and I could see how distraught the situation was, well, I can't do anything. I'm just a man. So I silently prayed. Holy Spirit, show me. How can I minister to this guy? Holy Spirit, give me the words. Whatever it is, what am I supposed to do here, Lord? Because I didn't know.
Yes.
I mean, I know what I want to do.
Right.
You want to throw the guy a life ring because he's drowning. But I don't know what to do, so I got to let the Holy Spirit.
So what you're really asking the Holy Spirit for is discernment. So,
yeah.
I mean, you actually, first and foremost, you can't give something away you don't have.
Amen.
If you want to bring peace into somebody's life, you've got to have peace.
Amen.
You've got to be able to do that. If you want to remind somebody about being able to forgive someone else or to be forgiven, to receive it, you've got to have that also. If you don't, it makes it very challenging. In other words, and you know this because you've been in sales just like I have. We've done this a long, long time. When somebody tries to fake something, that they are trying to be sincere, yeah, man, they shine like a glowing yellow neon light, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's so bright. You sit there and you go, oh, my goodness, this guy is trying to make it sound like he's being humble and so on, et cetera, and knowledgeable. And yet, they're not like that. So it's difficult for us to be able to give away something, once again, if we don't have it. If you don't have it, doesn't mean that you don't necessarily help somebody. Maybe what's necessary is that you need to prepare yourself ahead of time, just like you had mentioned, throughout each and every day, you're actually submitting to God. You have that relationship with Jesus, that you go to him, and that whomever it is that he brings into your life, that you're ready for whatever comes, right?
Amen. Well, that's because that's what I sought, Raul, when I would reach out.
Yep.
I was hoping I would get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you never get the one answer, not from somebody with some wisdom. They know that, you know, that's a journey and all that. But reaching out to somebody and having that risk, I'll tell you, guy, it's the old joke, guys don't want to ask for directions because of the pride, right?
Yes.
So how many guys ask for help? Man, most guys will go down in flames before they'll reach out.
Yes.
And help. So when I see a man that is so broken, mm-hmm. that he's in anguish, mm-hmm. his broken marriage, his lost job, or whatever it is, you know that that's a difficult place for that man to be,
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to be there.
But see, the thing is that you sense that ahead of time when you first meet the guy, the demeanor. The Lord gives you the discernment. You maybe get the guy's name. That's all that happens at that time. Maybe the church service takes time right after that. And then after the service, maybe that's where you connect up with him. But you prepare yourself. And then you actually are asking the Lord for direction, okay? But then one of the things that takes place is that it's so important to have. Jesus had it. It's compassion.
Hmm.
Because that is something that is so difficult for, it's not something you can make up. It's not something you can try to just will yourself to have compassion. It's a matter of being able to see others the way that Jesus sees them. Because Jesus obviously did not have to be experienced as a prostitute or as a drunkard or as a murderer, okay, to have compassion on these sinners. And they said he had compassion on them, okay? And that's one of the things that we so need to kind of keep from having to judge. But that compassion comes from the heart, okay? If realizing what the Lord has done in our own lives, that we get the opportunity to be able to realize and what God is doing. He's helping me as a result of helping others.
Well, you know what? That's part of the rub. You've heard me say before that I almost feel selfish. That there are times when I will reach out to help, and I only do that because guys did it for me, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of uncertainty in that sometimes. But I'll tell you what, the wisdom in it is something that I didn't see at first. At first, when you're helping somebody out, it's, I don't know, I got to say, it feels a little prideful because you're in a position to help and you know, you want them to say thank you and stuff like that. But there are those times when they're not willing to receive it.
Yes.
Or they've heard it before or whatever. And even in those times, I still got to trust the Holy Spirit. I got to trust what – I don't know if the word I'm going to say or the words I'm going to say are going to impact him or not. Mm-hmm. My prayer is that they will, but it ain't up to me. Then God's got to do the heavy lifting, and they got to move forward with that.
We have to continually be reminded as we're talking with this individual of what it is that needs to take place, and us being quick to judge, in a sense, okay, to really listen. It's not about us going to be able to give this guy, all four barrels.
Amen.
Right now, right?
Amen.
It's about being able to listen, because I think back of, as you did yourself when you were talking about this, you think back of what you were like, okay? And when you were distraught, when you were at that place of saying, you know, this is about it. Nobody knows that what I'm about to do. I'm coming to this church saying, okay, in my own mind, if nobody speaks to me, I am done. If nobody, is willing to show, I am done. You kind of go with the attitude, say, okay, God, I'm going to give you this. And it's not that you're that I was negotiating with God, but I was pleading. I was saying, help me. Put somebody in front of me, okay? But my own arrogance and my own pride was saying, if nobody does it, then I'm done, then I'm checking out. And yet, God is faithful. God is faithful. For this gentleman you're talking about, as he was for us, wherever it was that we said that if nothing happens now, I am done, something did happen. And he was there, faithful for us. And that, again, reminds us of who is the power, okay? It's not you or I. Paul says that he talks about it, and where he says, I have planted the seed. Apollos waters the seed, but God is the increase, okay? And he reminds us of that. I think it's in Corinthians he talks about that. That is what this thing is all about, okay? That it's not about our power, it's his power. It's not about our best idea, it's his idea. It's not about our way that we're able to reach somebody else, but it's about us seeking him. So that's why it's so important to prepare ourselves with him. Not so that others will look at us and say, oh, look, there's Duke and Raul, they're doing it again. Look at how good those guys are. They're so good at what they do. It is not us. It is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is God himself working in and through us because we've been willing to submit to him, as that's what he wants all of us to do. Okay.
Yes, and in the same way that I can encourage a guy with the knowledge of what I have to give away, I can also tell you that what I hang my hat on, like I did with this fellow on Sunday, is that it's not my words. There's examples in our Holy Scriptures of exactly what this guy's going through. Now, not that individual, but whatever that pain he's going through, there's an example.
Yeah.
And maybe we can look at that in Job.
Yeah.
He's the one that comes to mind as the ultimate example of persecution and still maintaining faith, even though there were ones that spoke encouragement into his life and then the other ones that didn't.
Yeah.
And it went back and forth.
Yeah.
So there's the ultimate hurting guy. The end of the story, of course, is if he trusts God in all things no matter what, then, of course, God delivers us in that way.
Mm-hmm.
To try and transfer that to a guy while you're sitting there on a curb while he's hurting, you really can't do. So you just guide him that way, as I did this guy, and I offered to meet with him again. That's the other thing. It's one thing to try and lift a brother up, then it's another thing. So, okay, what's the right next step here? How do I just let him go on his way? He came with an agenda of suicide and received some hope, and now see ya? No, I invited him to come up to my place.
Yeah.
And he didn't take me up on the offer, but that's where you got to go with some of this stuff.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about some of these things that we actually end up, what's, type of questions do we ask? Do we have to be careful in the questions that we do ask this individual as you get to know them a little bit? And where is it that we are to say, you know, this isn't quite right? Or is that something that we should do at all? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one-of-a-kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at CascadeMonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
And it's all an illusion, a 21st century institution. So I'm headed down the open road unknown. And we find what we're made of. Through the open door. Is it fear or failure? What are you waiting for? Now the loan is worth a
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul. And okay, Duke. So we, some of the things that we've talked about already is how to, in helping another, and we're talking about men helping men. Okay, first and foremost, I believe it's important that we, when we're talking about being able to assist someone else, when it comes to helping out a female, that is something that if you're married, you need to let your wife take care of. You
Amen.
Need to let another woman at the church take care of, not you taking care of it. The fact is that there are way too many opportunities that we give the enemy to be able to get a foothold in our relationships. And whether you think that you have all this strength of resistance and to not be tempted into something, brother, don't be so arrogant, you know, because what's going to end up taking, it's always pride goeth before the fall. And so in these situations, I always recommend that men, if there's a woman in need, whether she's a single woman or with children, that you always bring another woman into that conversation. And don't you attempt to do this alone, because it will come back and it will bite you, okay? But so always be safe and safeguarding ourselves. Because, see, this is not about us getting the recognition. It's not about us being the one. It's about us maybe finding the individual to be able to help somebody else, okay?
That's it. We're a vessel.
About knowing that this is someone who can give you assistance and it would not be able to be me, et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking primarily men talking to men. So when it comes with mixed gender, in situation, I'll just say, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Point a sister, if you're not married, a sister in Christ to that woman that is in need. So, so important, okay? So, as a result of this, we end up talking with this guy that, now, the people that you end up talking to, do they look like people that are in need sometimes, or do they look like people who, like another guy just came into the church service?
Man, it comes in all forms, brother.
Yes, it does.
It really. Now, you can tell the guy coming your way that's had a rough night.
Yes.
He's on the streets that night versus the guy that isn't, and you just see him show up to church without his wife that day.
Right.
So, yeah, it comes in many different forms. And we know that at least what I've learned in the wisdom of God's word as some of these that we'll talk about that helps us understand when to reach out. I got to tell you, Raul, the thing that God does here is he equips us in this way because it blesses us. I mean, I'm reaching out to these hurting guys because Guys reached out to me when I was hurting. Okay, so it's the give it back. But I'll tell you what happens. Even after I met with this guy yesterday and had this appointment that God had in mind for us, even though my heart was heavy for what the what was going to happen here with this guy in his life and choices he'd make and stuff, I still felt fulfilled that I was, that God used me, brother. Mm-hmm. I felt, and I don't mean in a prideful way. I'm like, okay, well, I prayed this morning, God used me. So why should I be surprised that he did? But a little bit of that is fulfilling to us. That is, I don't know about you, but most guys want to feel like they have made an impact and they're purposeful in what they do. By and large, we, even if it's a prideful thing, we're kind of wired that way. So to be able to feel like you can equip, but not, tell the outcome, it takes that trust, and it takes that the wounds that we've had that we've overcome, and we give it away.
Yes. You know, one of the things that you are talking about and that comes up as a piece of the armament, in a sense, is the wisdom, okay? In the book of Psalms, Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever." So that fear of the Lord is a reverent fear. It's of knowing that he is the one that has, hey, if the snap of his finger, he could stop everything in my body and it'd be done, okay? But he wants us to continue to seek him through humility, because I think that's where it talks about, and I believe it's, I'm looking here on my Proverbs 13:10, I think it says here. Let me just go there real quick here. 13:10. It says, "By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom."
Yes.
Okay? And so often it's of being able to know that when a person that we're assisting, and we let them know that, you know, the possibility. First off, if, you know, how long have you been following Jesus? Asking questions to them.
Yes.
And not being afraid of asking the wrong questions. But truly of being able, and I tell you, one of the best ways of being able to secure some trust in that individual is in the early part of the conversation, after you get the names and you say, how long have you been in town, and, you know, what kind of, and you get a little bit of a story. That's when the next thing I would do, or very close to the beginning of the conversation, is say, I'd like to just pray right now.
Amen.
And you pray. You don't pray together. You don't have to have him pray, but you just pray. And asking and acknowledging the Holy Spirit's presence, okay? And that God would just reveal to him the things that he wants you to say to him, okay? And as a result of that, this gentleman, this man, this broken vessel who was just like us at one time is all of a sudden just reminded that, hey, here's a man of God. And if this guy has any other motives, he's going to kick into gear. If he does have a motive of taking advantage of people in a church, you're going to find out very quickly.
Oh, yes, you do. You do. And even, you know, I got to tell you, too, the idea of prayer for starting out, if there's a hurting man, you don't know what to do, what to say, you just know there's something there. What you just hit on, brother, that is the most powerful. And I'll tell you why. When I would pray for him as we began to sat down, my prayer also described to him what my heart was. That is, my prayer was, yes, thank you, Father, for the appointment of this time. Nothing is by accident. Thank you, Father, for putting this brother in my life this morning, this day, right now. And Lord, show me what it is that I can share with him, to give him hope and encouragement, to let him know that you love him. Now, when I'm saying that out loud in the prayer with the guy sitting there, he's hearing my heart. He's hearing that I'm there. I'm seeking greater wisdom than my own. I'm admitting that I don't know what God has in mind for this man, but that we're bringing it to the foot of the cross and asking that the Spirit direct us in that moment. Well, just hearing that prayer sets the stage for what a willing heart to receive, I guess. Because I have had other times when I just start right off on, oh, brother, you need to do this, or this is wrong, or, oh, you did that to her, or no. That's the judgment. That's the condemnation. That's what turns the guys away. It's more be a listener, pray what it is that you want the Holy Spirit to intervene in that right day, that moment, and that's how it comes out. Every time, no question, done deal, that's how it comes out. Amen?
Amen. Every time.
Because Jesus reassures us that in this world we'll have trouble, but we also know that one of my most favorite verses is in Ecclesiastes. I got
to
focus on pronouncing
that. Yes.
Ecclesiastes 4:12 that reminds us that one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's mm-hmm. you, me, and the Holy Spirit, brother.
That's
it's right there.
Mm-hmm. Every time. Excuse me. I don't know why I've got this. Anyway, it's gone. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, okay, and that he gives an awful. So if you want to know a little bit about, a little bit more biblically about what, from the wisest man on this earth, besides Jesus, okay, but the man, not God, that spoke of wisdom, you can kick it off right in Proverbs 1, I should say. 1 through 3 talks an awful lot about him speaking to you. Let's put it that way. Okay. So I think when it comes down to now we've got an individual that we're praying for, we just prayed for, now we start asking some questions. And I think the key here is not so much that we start to talk, we ask key questions and then listen. Okay.
Yeah, because our propensity is to solve.
Yes.
So you're so right. When I ask the questions, they're more just to draw him into conversation and let him tell me what's on his heart. Mm-hmm. And you listen. Because mm-hmm. if we go and we try and fix in that moment, it won't be received.
Yes, yes.
Well, frankly, we don't know him, let's say. And really, I don't know about you, brother, but when I've been in that place, even though I want an answer of some kind because yeah. you're searching to hang on, you're really not. You really don't want to hear the. I mean, you don't want yeah. the guy to say, here's what you do. And you go, oh, okay. Okay, got that fixed. Yeah. Okay, let's yeah. go on to step two. No.
And how often, even if you're asking me a question, okay, and wanting to know something, you're actually looking at me to see if I'm really paying attention to you yeah. or if I'm actually already got, I'm waiting for you to be quiet so I can tell you what you need to hear.
Yes.
Right? We're sensitive to that sort of thing.
Yes.
And people, we, you know what? That's why this compassion and understanding and sympathy and empathy in some cases, right, that you just actually just look at this person. But for the grace of God, there go I. Not that I'm any better than that human no. being, but that could be me. I remember at one time thinking that, hey, I'll never sleep on a park bench when I was drinking and all of that sort. Until I slept on a park bench, yeah. I realized that so much for everything that I promise I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
How many times do we say things with good intentions, but, you know, it isn't necessarily the right thing to do or right thing to say. But that is back in the day when I was not following the Lord by any means, okay? And he had his covering over me even at that time, whether I realized it or not. So, go ahead.
Well, we know that there are they're tools that equip us. Mm-hmm. And like I'd said earlier, I will share that Scripture has some of those, I guess, encouragements of knowledge and where to go. And it comes back down, as I kind of broke with this guy yesterday, I always try and leave the guys with what do I want to have on their brains, aside from hopefully they've received some hope and encouragement, some comfort
right.
in that moment.
Right.
Then it's like, what do I do? So, I don't know, Raul, I'm one of those guys that, you know, you fell overboard. Let me show you how to not fall overboard again. And now, you may still, but it really comes down to being engaged with others and being into God's Word, those two foundations. So, when I left this guy, or he left me yesterday, and we parted ways, I encouraged him to go to Scripture, and he had a little New Testament that he carries with him. I encouraged him to go to the scripture and then to reach out. There were other services yet that day. I said, go to another church, go to, you know, I mean, I was trying to make suggestions so that he would stay in community and stay in God's word. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two staples I know of that that I can leave a guy with.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
You know, it is. That's an agreement. But sometimes people end up putting themselves in situations where maybe this person will ask for assistance. You know, maybe you get to that place where all of a sudden you're surprised. The guy seemed to be wanting to follow Jesus and listening to you and everything. And then he asks the question. I don't have any place to stay, and I'm really hungry. I haven't eaten. Any chance you can help me there? Now that's where all of a sudden most people go, oh, see, that's why I don't help them, because everybody's looking for, you know, a free handout or free something, and so on and so forth. Well, I'm here to tell you that, yes, there are people out there that do that, and they do it for a living. They live that way because they're able to go around and do that sort of thing. But we're banking on one thing, and that's our preparation ourselves before we even go to church or wherever we leave the house. Lord, help me to be prepared with discernment and wisdom to be able to know.
Yes.
Okay. So when the person does ask, can you help me out in any of these ways here? That's when, if you prepared, you could either let them know that, well, here's where you can go for that. Usually on a Sunday, there's not a place that they can go to, you know, unless there's a mission of some sort. And sometimes it may sound and look like you might be passing them off. But what you can do is say, well, you know what? Let me take you down. Let's get in the car. Let me take you down to, and I'm going to get you something to eat.
There you go.
And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to be anything. But you know what? Maybe the Lord wants you to spend some time with this individual so that you get an opportunity to be able to encourage them. Now, when they start asking for money for things later on and so on and so forth, this is where I believe that relationship with you and God, okay, again, Lord, should I even go there? I will suggest this. If you're married and you have a family of your own, you meet somebody at church like that, you've got to make sure you communicate with your wife and make sure that she's okay with whatever it is that you may be doing. I would not necessarily bring somebody in the car with you and your family unless she's already met them and she feels comfortable with that for whatever reason. You don't just assume that, hey, you're doing God's work here that he wants you to do, and your wife and kids have to just put up with it. Maybe she has other plans or something else taking place. We have to use this. We have to prioritize the way that the Lord wants us. Because I believe, well, the Word of God says that there will always be the poor and needy, okay? And that doesn't mean just the poor, like in financially poor. He's talking about the poor in spirit,
yes.
Okay, also,
yes.
All right? And the needy in spirit, okay? They need fellowship and relationship. But that doesn't mean that you're the one to save all, that all of a sudden you've got to be able to give them your complete attention. God has a plan for that day, too. And so this is why I think it's so important that we seek him early in the day to help with our decisions and prioritize it. He says to seek me first above all things. Okay? So I should be doing that on a daily basis already. Okay? And the second thing that he says, that the second most important, is to love others as you love yourself. Now, part of that, so that you know, family is in between God and these other individuals.
Yes.
And family comes before these people do, okay? And you have to use, again, wisdom, discernment, and understanding, and patience, and love. It might mean that you need to give them a ride down there, get them something to eat at McDonald's or something like that, and maybe you leave them with a couple dollars more to be able to get some more food. But nothing else, if you don't even need to do that, just the food itself. We'll be fine.
Amen. And I think that a guy that engages in that is already kind of knows from that journey.
Yes.
You and I have learned through
yes.
that. But you know what? If you stand on the sidelines, you ain't ever going to learn it.
That's right.
Somebody didn't stand on the sidelines for you, so let's not for our other brothers.
All right. Speaking of sidelines, let's take a little sidetrack here and take a little break because the producer's going, hey, your guys are talking way too much.
Amen.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
as iron sharpens iron. This is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
And I fall on my knees.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. We have a few minutes left, and this is something, a topic that we can continue talking, because it is about evangelizing. It's about reaching out and being able to assist others who are in need. And so often, I think one of the most important things is that we've talked about already is that we take and make and be intentional about listening more than we speak. But there does come a time when it is time for us to be able to maybe say a word or two. And we have to speak from our own experiences. The majority of time, if we end up just sharing just what the Bible says, that doesn't mean anything to anybody else. Never meant anything to me when I got that before I was a believer. Okay? So it's important that I use my own experiences, and that's part of why that person's in front of you. Because of your own fears and challenges in the past and what and how God impacted your life gives you that opportunity to be able to share that comfortably because it's your story. You don't have to add to it. Your story is something that you don't have to worry about how anybody else thinks or about it or anything else. It's not about being accepted by others. It's your story and how Jesus impacted you. So in doing so, just be courageous in that sort of thing. But it's also about speaking truth. And the truth is sometimes not necessarily something that somebody wants. They may desire something else. They want comfort. Who doesn't want their comfort? But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be uncomfortable, believe it or not, as followers of Jesus Christ. So you might as well let them know what is in store for them in the meantime. So.
Yes, and what we often remind listeners to at Band of Brothers and you close up with is we're not alone. We are not alone. John 16:33 reminds us that Jesus, so that in me you may have peace, there's a reminder that in Jesus we can find peace, even in those storms or those worst of those battles. If anything, brother, that's what you want to try and transfer to that guy, wherever he is in that place, that you want to transfer a little bit of hope, a little bit of encouragement, that you know where it can come from. Because without that, we, and Romans 15:13 says that we believe in a God of hope who can fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a proposition from complete despair to overflowing with hope. Wow. What a gift to give away.
And see, those are the key words that we're actually looking for when we're hurting. We want to know that there is hope, that we're not at the end of our rope, so to speak.
And you're not alone.
And you're not alone. I've realized that, but what do you mean I'm not alone? I am alone. I live out here on the street by myself. But see, that's the key, that God put that individual in front of you to be able to share your own experiences with them. Bottom line, whatever you end up doing is helping another individual, make sure that others know that you're helping. Let them know, not so that they see it, whether it be another brother in Christ, whether it be your pastor, of letting them know what your intentions are with this individual, especially if you're going to take them away from the location that you're at, so that we use wisdom rather than just the fact that, hey, God's going to protect me in all situations. you know, once again, you know, pride goeth before the fall, okay? And it's not about others seeing you putting this guy in your truck or your vehicle to take him someplace and let everybody see. Do things. Don't let your left know what the right is doing. Don't let others, don't do it so that you're being seen that, oh, man, look at how, look how holy he is, you know?
You know, and I used to, I'll tell you, Raul, I used to hesitate to reach out to guys who were hurting.
Yes.
Well, one, I was afraid that I wouldn't say the right thing and bring more harm than good. But it was more that I didn't want the responsibility of, I guess, engaging beyond that. For example, in John 10, 11 and 12, it says, when you step into the life of a hurting man, you are doing battle with him against evil. So when you reach out to, it's not just like, geez, I hope you have a good day. Be prepared, brother. You're taking on the emotional anguish and burden of what he's going through. And then now you got to be committed to keep this guy in prayer and let him know that. It doesn't just end in that moment.
Yes.
That's an appointment that God has put before you, and it's got to have some root beyond just that one moment.
There's something about when somebody truly wants what you have, it's easy to give that stuff away, okay? Now, if you find out the person is only there because they have different motives or different reasons, this is easy enough to take care of. You just let them know that this is not what we're here for. This is what we're called to do. I don't have the money. No, I can't get you a hotel room. No, it's not something that we are. And then if there's a challenge or that becomes overwhelming, get your senior pastor and have him or one of the elders come over and talk with that individual with you. So use discernment, wisdom, seek God above all things, and he will actually be there with you as you're doing all this sort. Well, brother, nice job. Nice job on all of this. How about praying for our brother?
Yes, thank you. Dear Father God, I just pray that you would give men the courage to see the wounded and to reach out, not to have an agenda other than just introduce the Holy Spirit and the hope of you to them so that we may grow your kingdom the way you would have us. Use us, Lord, in your name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.